Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi there. So, do you want to read manhwa? Well, you came to the right place. Welcome to the second episode of Soju Wanna Read Manhwa, a podcast centered on the Korean entertainment form of manhwa and sometimes their novel and drama adaptations. In this episode, we'll be finishing up our discussion about Solo Leveling from episode 1 and then diving into a business proposal. My name is Amber, and I'll be your host along with my good friend Marion. So, let's go ahead and. Yeah, welcome. How are you doing today, Marion?
I'm hungover. That's
oh no!
That's exactly why you host.
Was it too much soju?
Too much? Oh, I wish. I didn't have any soju, but I did actually have I had some Japanese whiskey, actually.
Right? It sounds pretty good. Well, I hope that it doesn't impair you too much on this discussion today, but I believe in you, and we've got this.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started by finishing up our discussion on Solo Leveling from the first episode. I completely overlooked it, but as you let me know last night that the final two episodes came out, I guess that's the end until we get Solo Leveling Ragnarok eventually. So what did you think about the final two chapters?
It was nice. It was cool. Like, I thought it was so funny, like, literally right after we finished recording, we got the final two chapters or whatever, and it completely, like, put a bow on top of everything, especially after we said that, like, yeah, if it weren't for the epilogue, like, the story would be kind of annoying to completely end the story there. It would feel so incomplete, and, like, now that we have the full story, like, yeah, it was really good. I was really happy. I was glad that I was able to read it.
Yeah, I was really glad that I had the opportunity to see the at least the current end of the series as well. I think that, and this is spoilers, so if you don't want to hear the end of Solo Leveling, skip forward a few minutes. But for the final chapter, seeing like Jinwoo and Suho going against each other, at least like momentarily, I really enjoyed seeing that. Even though he didn't quite recognize him until it was like, wait, is that my dad? I was still very like amused by that whole setup. And I felt my heart went out for Baru again, clutching his little drawing that Suho did. I'm just like, no, you poor giant ant.
Oh my god.
But I also really wanted to like call attention to the ending frame, the whole like physically the last thing you see for this series, which is appears to be a giant gate opening up, and that, or at least a smaller gate at somewhere, a gate has opened, and so it really is like a reboot of it and setting up for Solo Leveling Ragnarok.
Yeah, honestly, that didn't register with me because when I read it. Funny enough, it was like 6 in the morning. I was on the way to work, and I was looking for something to do on the train. And I was like, wait a minute, this notification says it's the end of Solo Leveling. So I read it, and I was like, oh shit, nice.
I mean, that's a good way to sum it up. Just like you read it, and you're like, nice.
Yeah,
it's satisfying.
Yeah, I agree. It was pretty good. To be honest, like, there were a couple cameos near the end, I think at the last chapter, where I wasn't sure. I was like, as I was reading it, I was like, is this it? Is this the end or whatever? But then, like, the more we saw, like, older characters and, like, little scenes of, they weren't flashbacks, but they were, like, reminding you of, like, oh, these were characters who were in the story and shit. I was like, oh, you know what? This is a pretty nice send off, because then there's a bunch of characters who they probably wouldn't have made it in otherwise or whatever. I thought the pacing of the finale was pretty good. Like, it doesn't feel too corny for like having like all these people in like cameos and stuff. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, tying them in like as if they were reading a newspaper was an interesting take on that, but it's a good way to just like catch up with old characters. I like that a lot of the major hunters are now like big firefighters or
Yeah. I forgot his name. Was it Bake? The tiger guy?
I can't remember his exact name, unfortunately.
Yeah, but we know what you're talking about. The guy with like the armor, the white tiger guy. Yes. Wasn't his boss Jinwoo's dad?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, when I saw that, I pogged. I was like, oh shit, that's fucking dope.
Oh, and his friend opening like his own game studio instead of a guild. I thought that was like a good tie-in as well.
Oh yeah, Jinho. I was so happy. And he's like, oh, Jinho's a father. He's going to be a father. And then his dad, he really did the right thing, leaving my company. Be his own entrepreneur yourself. And I'm like, yeah, that's my boy.
But then he calms down. He's like, you know what? I just want to see my grandkid before I die, whatever. Like, so it works out.
It was good.
But before we move away from Solo Leveling, I told Marion that I had to call him out on something that he said in episode one.
Okay.
So
I'm ready.
A correction to something that you said in the first episode, where you were saying that they wouldn't kill off the main character in Solo Leveling, but they did at one point. They did kill Jinwoo Song for a few minutes, but then his heart just like reboots as like a shadow heart or something.
Oh yeah, I remember now. That you're right.
But does it really count?
Oh, that's like a cop out. The fact that he goes back to life because of the shadow heart, the mind thing.
I mean, on one hand, it is a cop out, but on the other hand, the system kept saying the player is dead, like for two pages.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I forgot about the architect, that whole debacle.
Yeah. So shame, but we fixed it. It's done.
Good. Yeah. Now you can sleep at night.
I can't sleep at night. I don't want any angry emails. We fixed it. Okay.
Good.
All right. Sure,
this episode comes out of a timely manner.
Oh no. Alright, so let's get into what we're really here to talk about today. Our second series for this podcast, an up-and-coming title for Issei Press, and it is already completely finished in Korea. It is called A Business Proposal. There's 124 chapters in this series of the webcomic, and then all the art is done by Narok, and it's adapted by Perilla. The original novels were done by Heiwa. Volume 1 is in print now by Issei Press, and Volume 2 is scheduled for an August release. So just an initial impression, without diving into any spoilers, what did you think about this series, Marion?
I love this shit. I told you, like, when I first read it, I binged the hell out of it. I think I caught up to, like, chapter or episode like 80 or 90, like when I first read it. It was last year, I think, sometime in the summer. And then as soon as I was caught up to it, I have this like ritual, because whenever I read like updates on like on Webtoon or Tapas or Taptoon, whatever, like I like to order things whenever I go through, like if it's something that like updates like one day of the week or whatever, I go through every series that I read, and I like to leave the ones that I think that are the best for last. So it's like I'm rewarding myself at the end of the day. And every week that a business proposal updated, I think it was like every Tuesday, I would that would be like the last series I read the day out, because I'm like, damn, this shit is good. This shit is so fucking entertaining. So I had a great time reading this. And I think, it's like 124. I think I read it for like a couple months, maybe like 6 months max. By the time that it was like winding down, I guess, like in terms of plot. That was when I was like up to date. But then they did the, what was it, the side stories, the bonus episodes, I guess. Yeah, and I was like, oh, perfect. This is exactly what I needed, because we will probably talk about later, like, there was a drama, and, like, it was good, but some of the side characters kind of don't get to shine as much.
Yeah, I agree with that last bit, especially side characters definitely get to be explored a lot more with the bonus episodes, beyond the core four that we have throughout the series.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, overall, I liked it. I am hesitant to say that I was over the moon about it, but I did binge it very quickly. I did read it within like 2 days.
When you hit me up, you were like, oh, by the way, I'm starting to drama now. And I'm like, whoa.
Yes. Yeah, I liked it enough that I just like got through it like so quick. Like I read the series within like a 2 day span, and then I watched the K drama over, I want to say, like a span of 3 days. So forgive me if I like forget some plot points here or there today.
That comes with the territory of binging.
Because it's been almost a month already, like, since I've read this, and I read so many things at once. So but yeah, I mean, overall, I did like it. I think my hesitations with being over the moon about it are kind of like an imposition of my own like Western feminist ideas on things that happen there, but they aren't in a Western society. So like how I feel about it isn't applicable to their society, and I understand that. But it, like, it's trying to rationalize some of it in my head that I struggled with.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Because there are plenty of times where I'm reading, like, a romance series or something, like, aimed for that kind of audience, where I'm just like, huh? Or, like, some of the development. Or, like, sometimes I would, like, I would take umbrage with, like, the way that some of the plot develops or some of the reactions some characters have. And then it takes time to, like, contextualize, like, oh, maybe it's just because, like, these are not, like, American characters or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something to make sure that we're cognizant of in any series that we read, whether it's Japanese, Korean, anything outside of America, it's going to have, or even some stuff within America, is going to have different cultural perspectives and things that might not make sense to us. And that's okay. That's how they live, and that's not our position to judge on it.
Right.
But I still love to read it, and I love to see the different ways that life is explored. So to just kind of get into the general plot of A Business Proposal, for those that don't know, the general setup is that this person named Yang Seo-jin has been set up by her father to go on a date, because grandparents apparently want all their children to get married right away, especially if they're in high society.
Yeah.
And so she's been set up on a blind date. She doesn't remember who it's with, and she doesn't want to go on any blind dates. She just wants to go and have fun and be a normal young adult. And so she begs her best friend, who's the main character of the series, Hari Shin, to go on this blind date in her stead. And she's like, you can just be the worst person in the world and just make him like leave, make him never want to see me again. He won't want to marry me. I'll be off the hook for at least a little bit longer. And after a bit of him and hawing, Hari finally decides to go on this date. But little does she know that and of course, Yangsa doesn't remember the name of the person that Hari would be meeting. Little does she know that it's actually the boss of her company where she works. So Hari goes on this date with her boss, and she is completely different and unrecognizable from her normal self. Yangsa has dressed her up in what they describe to be a really flashy, kind of femme fatale bombshell appearance, bright pink wig, some really heavy eye makeup, a revealing dress, and just tells her to be the craziest person in the world. And little does Hami know that Temu has already decided, because he has also been forced onto this blind date by his grandfather, that he's just going to marry whoever the heck shows up on this date, no matter what they are. Because he just wants to be done and over with blind dates as well. And I don't think Temu was quite expecting to meet the crazy that Hami brings to the table, suggesting, basically at one point suggesting that she would just love to have an orgy full of people in the room. And the chaos just ensues from there. And I love that Temu just, like, plays along with the whole thing, but...
He's like, oh, yeah, totally. I'm also with the orgy.
He's like, you know, I appreciate your honesty. Thank you. So refreshing. But we'll get into that. But basically, going from there, a series of crazy events, Hari and Temu, over the course of the series, end up falling for each other. And, of course, Temu discovers pretty early on who Hari is. And even more crazy ensues from there. So, knowing that, what are your first initial thoughts in spoiler territory? Go ahead, Marriott.
Or I guess, like, past the main premise?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. As you were recounting the premise, I was just laughing my ass off, because the series is so funny. Like I said, like, the dialogue. I think the script is, like, such a huge selling point. And it's something I also noticed with the drama when I was watching it. I thought that it was just, like, really digestible when it came to, like, the characters talking and, like, some of their actions or decisions. Like, it might be a little over the top, silly, but, like, it works. I think, I totally forgot about when Hari told Temu that, like, oh yeah, by the way, I love sex, and like we could just have a huge party with people and invite everyone over, and I'm just like, there's no fucking way. Oh man.
It makes it even funnier that, like, at that point you just imagine it, and then they show her, like, in a scene surrounded by lots of people in a suggestive pose, and it's just like, and like, before I even started reading the series, so when you initially recommended it to me, I saw a screenshot of just that scene of her, like, surrounded in people. I think it was, like, a promotional thing on, like, Twitter from Easy Press. And I was what am I about to get into? But I'm here for it.
This is also one of the series that they promote on, like, Instagram and shit. And, like, I remember, yes. I don't really use Instagram because the ads are too crazy. Like, there are always fucking ads everywhere. But I'm in, like, a group chat with one of my high school friends, or some of my high school friends. And every time, like, something comes up and people talk in the chat, I open the app. And I think I also remember that scene getting shown on Instagram, and I'm just like, oh, I recognize that series now.
It's one of those scenes where if, like, somebody looks over your shoulder, they're going to judge you about what you're reading.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's the moment where, like, a mom walks in on their kid watching anime, and they're like,
And then it wears weave.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, I mean, it's such a crazy setup. I think it's even funnier when, like, Temu discovers who Hari is and just, like, keeps ignoring it. He's just
he just keeps going with it.
Yeah, you're totally this other person that I went on a date with, not my employee. That's cool. I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to make you, like, wish that you never did this. But then, at the same time, I'm going to make you pay by marrying me.
Right.
His whole concept of revenge for lying at the beginning of this series is so amusing to me, because it's not even, like, I'm going to make you pay in money. I'm going to make you pay by, like, getting you fired for whatever trivial reason. Like... It's just like, no, you're gonna solve my problem like I initially wanted you to, and you will be stuck with me for life.
For life, yeah. I like that. But it's very petty.
Yeah. I think a lot of the characters have a really good dynamic throughout the series as well. I think, despite some of the problems that I have with things he does in the webcomic, particularly with the K-drama version of him, Song Kang-cha is amazing. I absolutely love that character. And I just kept wanting like more of his character throughout the series.
Is that the guy with the glasses?
Yes, the secretary best friend.
The little brother.
Slash adoptive brother.
That's my boy. Yeah. I love him too.
And the we'll get into the K-drama more later, but the casting for Song Kang-cha is 10 out of 10 perfect. But so, I mean, further other relationships, main characters that are primary characters throughout the series would be like Minwoo Lee, who is Hari's unrequited love for so long, and a big obstacle for jealousy between Minwoo and Taemu. Hari's brother, Haemin. And we've got a fill-in secretary for Sung-hoon, which is Ji-hoon-yin. I think it's not until the bonus episodes, perhaps, if I'm recalling correctly. There's an American colleague, Seo-jin Che, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah.
That comes over from the New York office, I believe it was. And she looks like just a female identical version of Taemu. And a primary antagonist throughout the series, for the most part, is Mangyun Kang, which is Taemu's grandfather. And then at the very end of the bonus episodes, we get Yongsa's cousin, Yuju. So, yeah, there's a lot of characters to keep up with throughout the series, but they all play a role in a different way. I thought that the character of Minwoo, the unrequited love, was very frustrating.
I hated him.
I hated him so much. Between the webcomic and the K-drama, like, both versions of him, I'm like, stop, get out of here. I don't want nothing to do with you. You're the worst.
Literally, you only exist as a plot device lead.
Yes. You are here to cause trouble, and I don't want any of it.
Right.
Yeah, I did like, as far as seeing Taemu, like, kind of one-up him and show him up in, at least in the webcomic, where they're at, like, the diner scene, and he's like, yeah, of course I'm Hari's boyfriend, and, like, uses that as, like, a later, like, what are you gonna owe me kind of thing.
Ooh, when I saw that, I'm like, oh, you fucking snake, fuck you.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a good scene between them, like, just the whole interaction of Taemu stepping in to be, like, whatever boyfriend she wants, just to, like, get Minwoo away. So, like, he's like, oh, do you want a rich boyfriend, a thoughtful boyfriend, or this other kind of boyfriend, I don't remember. And she's like, all of the above. And he doesn't even hesitate, just like, drop of the hat, got it, perfect actor, here we go.
That's it, yes. Taemu's that guy.
Taemu just knows exactly what to do, and exactly what he wants, and I feel like he's so driven throughout the series to just make anything he wants happen, no matter what it takes. And I think that was one of the things that kind of like irked me, not so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes, but the trickery that it had to be at some points seemed a little like too much.
Like the hoops that they had to jump through?
Well, not so much the hoops, but like,
for example, the fact that he would jump through them like flawlessly.
That too. But like, how dare this be so easy for you? But no, the, like, for example, when, like, Hari was hesitant to get married, there was, like, a whole set of, or I guess this was, never mind, it wasn't Taemu that did this, it was, Sung-hoon and the grandfather. They, like, orchestrated this whole thing to get Hari to, like, realize that she did want to marry him. Because for some reason, Sung-hoon wasn't allowed to get married until Taemu did. And I was like,
oh, yes.
This whole thing.
That's so arbitrary.
Like, I get that in this, like, adoptive family, Taemu is older, but in my Western mind, that means nothing to me.
Yeah. It's yeah, like, the way that, like, a lot of Sung-hoon's, like, progress was, like, shackled through Taemu, I was like, this is kind of weird. I can't really, like, put myself in that position to understand, because that doesn't really happen over here in the West.
Yeah, it reminded me of that, like, scene in the 2003 adaptation of, like, Pride and Prejudice, or I mean, I guess it's in the original novel too, but where Lady Catherine de Bourgh's, like, the younger sisters out in society before the eldest. And I'm just like, yes, why not? Let's go for it. But, yeah, I mean, throughout the series, there's a lot of different things that happen, whether it's, like, different things that happen to different characters that are potentially iffy in our perspective, but I think that there's a lot of good that happens throughout the series, too. I really want to dive into Sung Hoon Cha's character and his situation a little bit. Yeah. As his, like, he turns out to be, like, the best. Whether he becomes a father and a great boyfriend before that. But his kind of, like, introduction to his relationship with
Youngsa,
yeah, was a little frustrating to me, because I felt like it was an issue of consent. Honest.
Oh, yeah, especially, like, after they move.
Well, like, when they get together after, like, they're at the bar, mm-hmm. like, pretending to, like, so this is a deviation between the webcomic and the K-drama. In the webcomic, they're, like, secretly seeing each other on the side, but in the K-drama, Sung-hoon is, like, ignoring Youngsa because, like, he's been told by Taemin to, like, have nothing to do with Hari or Sung-hoon because of their situation that happened. So she ends up, like, drunkenly telling him all these, like, things, like, how dare you hate me? I fell in love with you at first sight, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But in the webcomic, they've already been together and, like, hanging out for a while. Yeah. So I felt like the webcomic wasn't quite as bad because it was clear that they were, like, both very invested in each other.
Yeah.
But in the K-drama, like, it definitely felt like much more of kind of a consent question mark because she was so drunk and she, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's the same way in the webcomic, is that, like, she was blackout drunk and couldn't remember anything. And if you're that drunk, I don't think that that's consent. But I kind of made my peace with it just because they were so in love with each other and they did get together in the end. But it was kind of an iffy moment for me at that point.
I totally understand, especially because, like, they're kind of, like, coasting on the fact that, like, there's so much, like, tension and, like, interest from, like, the very first, like, as soon as they lock eyes, like, that's what they were kind of, what I felt was what they were selling. And, like, yeah, I honestly, like, I had a lot of fun watching the drama, but then, like, there were a lot of decisions that they made where I felt like it was more than likely, like, 90% done in consideration for, like, the pacing and, like, how many episodes versus, like, how much are they going to adapt, and, like, there's a ton of content that they just completely scrapped for the sake of, like, brevity to make sure that, like, they can tell a complete story. Like, you know, there's whole storylines that were skipped just because, like, it's only, like, what, like, 12 episodes?
Yeah, it is 12.
Right, so there was stuff that happened that in the webtoon that, like, they completely glossed over. And I was watching it, and as I was, like, coming to that realization, I'm just like, oh, I see what you're doing. Okay, fine. That's fine. I'm still enjoying it, but also, like, this, that kind of sucks. Yeah. And some of it also translated into some of the writing decisions. Yeah, like, the way that they confessed to it, and, like, stuff like, when Youngsa was, like, she was, like a much heavier drinker in the drama. I think probably just because it was better to have scenes like that. Like, it's easier to film that kind of shit. That reminded me, one of my favorite scenes was, like, there was, like, an office party or whatever where people were drinking and shit. And I forgot who it was. Someone was serving up, like, fucking, I don't know what it's called. Like, is it, like, soju bombs or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
They have, like, the shots, like, Jaeger shots, basically. And someone, like, opened up the bottle and was, like, shaking it. And I'm like, oh, damn. That's kind of fire.
Yeah, I remember that episode. And, like, at that point, I was like, man, I could really go for a drink right now as soon as I watched it. So one of the other things that I noticed when I was reading through the webcomic is that there's a, in terms of the different relationships that are shown, romantic relationships, there's a huge contrast between them being very traditional and very modernized at the same time. So in modern sake, there's paternity leave, couples making decisions together,
mm-hmm.
and like the fathers like being very active in their children's lives. But at the same time, it's very traditional in that they're asking their parents for permission to marry whoever they're getting with. Whether they're like, and this is a modern versus traditional, I guess, like in terms of Yangsa and Sung-hoon, they get together right away. Mm-hmm. But Hari and Taemoo are withholding sex until they get married. And then there's like a huge, like prolonged amount of time before that they get together, as far as like marriage. And then, I guess on the aspect of like asking permission and still about Sung-hoon Cha that we're talking about before is that he was just willing to just give up Yangsa completely for the money that her father was willing to give him because of his status.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And that was frustrating to me that he was just like, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. I'll give up the love of my life because you don't think I'm good enough. So how much is it going to take?
Yeah. To be fair, like he does have an inferiority complex.
And like, yeah, he
comparing
does.
Himself to Taemu, especially because we just brought up like Taemu was like Mr. Perfect. He fucking does everything.
Yeah. I completely agree with that.
So like, it makes sense, contextually, but also it's just like, damn it. Sung-hoon, you know, you're better than that.
Well, and they hinted that that was like the direction that it was going in the K-drama as well, but then it didn't. Like, they just kind of went off and did their own thing, and that was like a more modern twist on it as well, is that they just went across, went against Yangsa's father.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
But before, actually, before we go into the K-drama, I wanted to also note that a couple other things that stood out to me. One thing that I thought was really funny is after Hari and Taemu get married, why did she wait to like rewear this like pink wig and crazy getup until they're like trying to actually conceive a child instead of on their honeymoon? Like,
I was expecting it.
I was like,
there's no fucking way.
Yeah, like honeymoon night, that's the night. Why did you wait until even longer?
Oh my god.
Granted, she like made a whole deal about like losing her honeymoon outfit that she planned or whatever, but that would have been the night. And I was like, when am I gonna see pink haired Hari again?
Oh my god, she's like, let me channel this orgy energy.
For real. Like, get it together.
Oh, shit.
The whole thing was pretty amusing to me. And I like that, like, Taemu is always quick to call her out on her nonsense. Just, like, being so, like, her own insecurities that she feels as well.
Yeah. I think one thing that I really liked about their dynamic is just, like, it started off with like a law and then like a contract or whatever. Fucking what is it called? The trope, like contractual dating, or like fucking there's definitely a word for this that I don't remember.
I don't remember the specific word, but contractual dating sounds correct.
Right, or like that's contractual exactly marriage. What it is. Like that's yeah. usually goes straight to marriage. But like, I love the slow burn of like when they both realize like, oh, they're into each other. But then they want to turn like the fake relationship into a real one. I'm just like, oh, I eat that shit up for fucking breakfast. I love
it's definitely much like a not friends with benefits, but it's gotta be like at least looking that way. And mm-hmm. it's very easy to just like fall into that storyline and like just kind of become enamored with it.
Yeah, it makes the slow burn of a relationship with these characters like a lot more digestible, like easy to get into, just because like you know the tension's there and you see it on screen or on the page, but like it's like it's the joy of like when you see the characters realize like, oh, I'm in way deeper than I realized. Like I love it. It just makes it so entertaining. Then like there's also like all the other characters, like Sung-hoon and Yeongseo as like the secondary couple. I thought it was very refreshing having them like side by side as like couples and shit, because like they're both like radically different people in terms of like how they talk and how they act and everything. And even then, like as individuals and also as couples, like they're completely different. I thought that was pretty fun to see, as like to have them both like highlighted as like essentially like best friends, like double dating.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually thought it was really funny when at one point Yeongseo was getting impatient with Hari about like marrying Taemu. She's like, you know what? We should just have a double wedding. Like, let's get this over with.
And she like Yeongseo kind of eggs her on. She's like, me and Sung-woo bone all the time. Why the fuck haven't you laid your hands on me or some shit?
Exactly.
Oh my god. I thought that was really funny. Yeah. Especially because you know Taemu's like fucking dying for it.
Yeah, like he's so like thirsty for actually marrying her once he realizes he loves her, that it's just like he wants it to happen so bad. But at the same time, like, on one hand, I get Hari's reservations about marrying him, because like it was this whole big thing that was just like a strategic plan when they first met. But at the same time, she really did hold out for like way longer than necessary.
Yeah. And, like, I'm impressed, but also like there was no need for that.
Yes. Like, why does it take grandfather being on his fake deathbed for you to just come around to this? Like,
did he plan that or not? I don't remember.
He did.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a plan. Like,
there's something about that grandpa. So he's so funny.
It was a plan with Sung-hoon and the grandfather to just, like, do a fake hospital ring around, like they do also in the K-drama, sort of.
Yeah.
Just, like, make it happen.
Oh my god. I love the grandpa, though. He's so patient
with Ari.
He's so funny. And
yes.
Honestly, like, the actor in the drama, he was so hammy. I fucking love that.
Yes.
Like, he was selling it. The way that, like, he would talk shit to Taemu, but also be like, I just want to see you, like, get married to have kids. You're just my fucking grandson, you know? But then, like, you idiot!
Like, with his cane. Like, he's, like, some crazy, intense boss who's just gonna, like, destroy his life.
Right.
Yeah, but then he's, like, cuddling up on a couch watching, like, a K-drama happening.
Yeah, the drama, or the premise of the drama is the same shit that Hari's going through.
Yes.
It's, like, some commoner girl getting together, like, with some
chaebol.
Like, even
the exact same name of, like, Shin Goom-hee or whatever.
Yeah. Like, Hari? Where did I hear that before?
Yeah, it's insane. Well, actually, speaking of the grandfather, the other point that I wanted to make that I thought was really funny in the webcomic, and more specifically, it's in the bonus episodes, is once Hari and Taemu are married, and the families become much more integrated and everything, the chicken shop that Hari's parents own is, like, struggling with Hari not being around, and so the grandfather steps in and becomes a delivery man for the chicken shop. And I'm like, what is this? This
billionaire grandfather
rolling around on a motorcycle with like his little jacket and his shades, and he's like,
I love it.
I was just in hysterics, like laughing at that.
I love it. And didn't he, like, he met up with this older grandmother lady?
Yes.
But I don't remember. It's been so long. Were they familiar with each other? Or was she just, like, reminded him of one of his past loves?
Neither, actually. So she was just a random customer that he encountered. And she was the caregiver for her granddaughter. And they couldn't, like, afford to get chicken or whatever. And then one day, he has to deliver to, like, her house. And he makes up, not exactly. He, like, several times over, like, makes these fake sweepstakes that they keep winning to get free chicken. But he's really just him paying for it every time. And I'm assuming he's like, I didn't win anything, did you? Or did I? And he's like, no, you never did. It was adorable. And I just like, I'm the old people love moment. It was adorable.
I love that too. Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad it was neither, because like, that makes it so much funnier.
Yes.
But like, he had no reason. He was just like attracted to this older lady. Just like,
yeah.
Let me make her day. Let me give her some free chicken.
Just the image of like him on the motorcycle was just beyond ridiculous enough. And then they just like continue to try to find ways to top it with him.
Yeah. Oh man. Speaking of like the bonus episodes and like all the side couples that develop, I was so into Hamin and Yuju. Youngsu's cousin, whenever they got together, didn't they meet like didn't she like meet him in college, or she went to get chicken and saw that he worked there, and like that was
they technically met
at the wedding
that they met
you're right, at the wedding
and Yansa's wedding, and Haman was outside crying because he was in love with
Yansa.
Yeah, and she's like, what's your problem? And, like, hands him, like, a handkerchief or something. But then just, like, disappears. But then
he's got some deep shit about life. No,
yeah. He's like, I can, like, live in peace now or some shit like that. But, so
she's like, whoa, that's kind of deep. That's like someone just died.
Yeah, and so she, like, can't stop thinking about him. And then Haman, like, stops some sort of, like, robbery or does some weird, like, heroic thing and ends up on the news.
This is some Gary's do shit. I don't know. Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, he becomes, like, a local icon. And then all the, like, college girls wanting to go have like lunch. Like,
oh, by the way, isn't this chicken delivery guy so hot?
Yeah. Like, I want to get with this hot chicken delivery guy. Let's go to the chicken shop and just see him or whatever. And so, like, Yuju and her friends go to the chicken shop, even though, like, Yuju's not interested. She just wants chicken or whatever. And then she recognizes that it's him, and she's sold. She's like, you know what? They need another employee. I'm going to hide my identity.
Oh, I'm
going to
cross-dress.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to cross-dress and be a man because they, like, aren't allowing women women applicants, mostly because, like, everybody's just after Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And, or Hamin, and so, yeah, she cross-dresses. Hamin questions his sexuality many times.
I love that. That's the best part. That's just, Hamin's like, huh? What's this thumping in my chest?
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Their little date, like, while she's in cross-dress is so amusing to me. And I like that he's willing to go, like, it doesn't matter to him at that point.
Yeah.
He's, like, so over, like, smitten that he just, like, he's like, you know what? So be it. That is my life, I guess.
He's like, I might be gay. Fuck it.
Yeah.
YOLO. Like, you know,
that's how it is, I guess. I learned a new thing.
And that's the attitude for, like, this whole series.
They go with it, and I love it.
Me too. About the drama, we know that, like, they changed a lot in terms of, like, plot, I guess. Just because, like I said, like, there was no way they were gonna be able to adapt the whole thing with that kind of episode constraint. But did you feel like they managed to capture the essence or like the spirit of the series? Because I felt like they did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For those of you that aren't aware, I know we've mentioned it a few times already. The K drama, which is just Business Proposal without the A, is now available on Netflix. It's 12 about hour long episodes, and that's the complete series. The K-drama does not adapt the entire story. Like, it doesn't have a lot of the bonus episodes content. It cuts off, like, right with Taemin and Hari finally, like, getting together and, yeah, like, being a happy relationship.
And there's some events that are, like, shuffled around or completely excised just because...
Yes.
Yeah, because they don't have the time.
Yeah, so, like, on one hand, we see the, like, that the couples are happily together, but we don't see their happily ever afters, their HEAs.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see, like, whatever comes after that, which is, like, a huge part of the story. But yeah, so, I mean, let's dive into that K-drama. There's a lot of changes that they make. For example, Hari's profession is no longer in finance. She's a food researcher. Her mother, instead of being,
I didn't make that connection, but, like, it worked out, honestly. I thought that was pretty interesting.
yeah, I still liked it, and I liked that it gave her kind of like this different form of intellect than she was using in like the webcomic. To focus specifically on being like an independent researcher and standing on her own ground that way. Her mother, who was like very quiet and kind in this, like the webcomic, was very overbearing and violent in K-drama.
She was so loud.
Not like, yeah, I mean, like it's affectionate violence, but at the same time, like, what's
You know what? You know what she reminded me? She reminded me of like an Ed and Eddy character. Like she would fit in that series for some reason. Don't ask me why. Like, that's just the first thing that came to mind.
The Hari's disguise in the K-drama doesn't make her look much different, which that was like a little saddening to me. Oh, yeah. I was very much looking forward to a bright pink wig, and I did not get a bright pink wig. And, like, it's different. Like, her hair is significantly longer with the wig that she wears. But I don't think it changes her appearance that much in the K-drama, to be honest.
Yeah.
Minwoo, who the unrequited love that we mentioned before, he's now a chef who dresses nice. He doesn't just like walk around wearing flannels all the time. And as I mentioned, the Sung Hoon Cha character, 10 out of 10 casting choice, and I think his character
he almost stole the show, to be honest.
Yeah, he was like the star of the K-drama for me. Like, that's why I was so invested in watching the K-drama, as I was like, I just want more scenes with him.
Yeah, he was so handsome.
I was like, yeah, but I liked him better when he had his glasses on. Like, the few scenes where he didn't have his glasses because he was, like, working out or just whatever, I'm like, put your glasses on, sir. That's selling it for me. Like, get it together. But, like, as we said, there's a lot of changes they make as far as different things that happen. Like, for example, in the bonus content of the webcomic, there's a sports festival that Hari wants to win. Some, like, vacation with Taemoo. And, like, that like little weird sports festival happens in a way in the K-drama, but it's much earlier on before I think they're even together at that point. So it's different that way. But I did also, one thing that I think was really nice is the first time we see Taemoo, the introduction is the manhwa art, like his intro. Like, you see him walking through the airport, but it's the, like, the art from the manga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, walking
in. Some of the transitions, when it came to stuff like that, I thought that was really
cool. Yeah. Like, some of the little, like, pop-ups, like, when, I think it's when Minwoo's introduced, there's, like, Hari is, like, remembering something about Minwoo, and it shows, like, manhwa pop-ups of, like, his flannel-wearing character, like, doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's at one point like Hari's sitting on a bus bench or something, and there's an ad in the background that is like the cover of the first volume of the manga.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of ads, did you see that Samsung product placement all the fucking time? Like, honestly,
I didn't even notice. No,
it worked on me too, because I'm just like, maybe I should get a Samsung flip phone. it drove me crazy. Like last year, I was actually in the market for a new phone, and I'm like, I was so torn between like, should I go back to iPhone? But I really want to get this the Samsung Z Flip. It's like fucking, oh my god, it was crazy. Just because like Hari had it, and then I think there was another character who had like basically those foldables where they're like smartphones, but they fold or flip or whatever. And I'm like, you know what? That looks kind of fire, actually.
I just wanted to know, like, what kind of phone that was the whole time, but I never looked it up. I was just like, that's such a cool phone. I wish, like, I had one of those. But then, like, especially the one that, like, opened up to be, like, this, like, mini book kind of thing.
Yeah! That's the Z Fold. It's basically, it turns into, like, a fucking tablet.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And like, I thought that looked so cool, and I was so like entranced every time they used their phone. But at the same time, like, I'm so attached to my iPhone, I could never get rid of it.
Oh yeah, I totally understand. The you know what's funny? Like, this is completely sidebar, by the way. But like, I think it was last year actually when I got my my yearly review, my performance review at my old job. and I got my raise, I was like, you know what? I was so like into that phone that like when I upgraded, I got my iPhone, and I just like saved up enough money to like, I was like, you know what? I want the flip phone anyway, and I got like a burner, even though I don't use it like that. I just use it. I separate one of them for like mobile games and like reading manhwa and shit. And then the other one is just for like if I need to text people or for like social media and shit.
Nice.
But yeah, that product placement was crazy. It was like every episode and like every other scene. I love the fact that like what made it funny to me is just like clearly like they were good like big sponsors or whatever, because whenever Hari had to text, it would like first it would like show her in the frame, right? And then when she's like texting, and then like it would like naturally like zoom in to like her hands and like holding it and shit. And I'm just like, okay, yes. I see. This is very subtle, huh?
They definitely must have had a good investment in that show. I noticed the phones, but I did not, and didn't know which company they were for, but I did not notice all the other placements. I feel like I need to like rewatch the last episode and just be like, I get it now. But a couple other things that stood out to me in the K-drama. Like I said, the intro with Taemu was absolutely stunning using the manhwa art, but I wish that they would have done the same for Hari as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then they also changed Yeongseo's name in the K-drama to Yeongseo.
Okay.
So that it was just like a small deviation, but I thought that was just like an interesting thing. And then also they gave Taemu like a dark backstory with his parents being dead. Being in the webcomic and like his trauma about Rain and the accent. And I thought that was like really well handled, and like Hari's reception to it was very well done as well.
Yeah. Honestly, it could have been a lot messier, which is something that I could say about a lot of things. But like the fact that they were able to handle like all of this like all this like original content and stuff that was like taken out from the webcomic, like it was handled pretty well, honestly. And like I said, I felt like they captured the essence of like what made the webtoon so enjoyable. And like at the end of the day, when it comes to like an adaptation, like that's like the most you can ask for. To the point where like I remember when I was watching this last year, and I was like, I was talking about it on Discord to some of my friends, and I'm like, honestly, like this is really enjoyable and really fun. And like I binged the shit out of it. I think I watched the whole drama in like 3 days. I probably could have been 2 days, but when I realized the episodes were like an hour long without like ads or anything, I'm like, yeah, that's a lot. I'm gonna do a bit more.
I mean, taking your time with it instead of trying to like force it all in one day and not getting a whole lot of sleep or anything else, like it lets you like reflect on it and sit on it a bit more. I did also think it was nice that like they added in like introducing Yeongseo to his like quote unquote mother, which is like,
oh, the orphanage or whatever.
Yeah.
I love that. I was like, oh, that's very touching.
Yeah. And then also like, well, cause that shows like the respect that he has for like the traditional family idea,
yeah,
but in his like unique situation.
Yeah. That got me emotional, honestly.
Yeah. And then, what was it? I just had the other thing in my mind.
The fact they'd be fucking like rabbits? No.
No. Oh, okay. I remember now. So it was...
That reminded you.
No. Well, yes and no. So, sidebar. Not in a good way. the like creepy neighbor that Yeongseo has in...
Oh, yeah. The stalker or like the...
Yeah.
Dude, that shit was crazy. I was like, I don't remember this.
Like that is a very like real like terrifying concern for like young women living on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that they handled that really well with like Taemu and Sung-hoon like taking him down kind of thing.
Yeah, and like teaming up to like warrior up and shit.
Yeah, well, especially because like it really showed how like sometimes the police like with very little evidence like won't do anything.
Yeah.
For that kind of situation, and I thought that like they're at least there are police. I don't know about Korean police, but the way that they handled that, I felt was like really well done.
Yeah, I agree, especially because like they kind of make a statement about it, about like historically this is not really something to condemn someone for or like get them in jail or whatever. So then they're like, okay, bet. So we'll get evidence for everything else and like just pile it up and like. Yeah, dude, like, it's a huge deal, especially, like, when you consider, like, in Korea, like, the whole, like, the stan culture they have with, like, celebrities and shit and, like, very important people. The fact that, like, there's a culture behind, like showing your devotion to other people and shit, but, like, there's times where it gets, like, so unhealthy that, like, it feels kind of hard to, like, reach the topic without coming off as like you're either like too obsessive or like you're completely out of touch with like the other fans or some shit. Like there's like a weird balance that a lot of people have to hit. But even then, like there are tons of accounts of like stalker accounts and like just breach of like etiquette when it comes to like normal people trying to get close to like these celebrities or like very important people.
Yeah, I mean, even in our own culture, there's a lot of that where people are like, oh, that's my husband or whatever, and I, like, you've never met them. Like,
right.
There's just people just being obsessed with these iconic people that have risen to, like, notoriety or, like, some sort of celebrity status in society. But I think that, like, yeah, you're right, there's definitely a huge culture for that in Korea from, like, any sort of, like, you can see it just in the, like, the subgenre of there being, like, so many different idol-themed series.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody, like, there's, I can't tell you how many things I've read where it's been like, oh, yeah, I'm making my idol debut, and, like, it's just, like, a normal thing that happens.
Yeah, or, like, it's, like, a genuine, like, career path just because when it comes to, like, entertainment and, like, that being, like, a possible... like path for people to take, like there's agencies and like even like I think there's even like academies for that kind of shit where people can like train and like basically like learn how to become performers and shit. It's just different. It's just something that's more it's like commercialized to the point of like they have it down to like a science and they have like scouts for that shit. And yeah, I don't know, it's just handled differently.
For sure. They just like walked in at a young age, like, oh, you can sing and act, you got a pretty face, let's go, let's do this, you're gonna be famous.
Yeah.
Well,
shout out to Oshinoko.
Yeah, I have already been spoiled on that first episode. I haven't watched it yet, but I know what happens, and I'm very
to be fair
to start it now.
Episode one is just it's volume one, which is the whole premise. Like I do the premise from like back when it like premiered or whatever, and it's just like, yeah, it just you have to experience the whole thing at once just to like once you see it in context, it's just like, oh, this is way like it's different having it like explained to you or like hearing it in passing versus the way it's executed. I respect that kind of shit, the way that stuff like that is handled. But yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. For those of you listening that didn't quite catch what you're talking about there, that was Oshinoko, which is currently an anime airing on HIDIVE, and the manga is printed by Yen Press.
Yeah, it's by the author of Kaguya-sama Love is War and the artist of Scum's Wish, which is fire combination.
Yes, for sure. I absolutely love Kaguya-sama. I finally got around to watching the finale movie a couple weeks ago, and I was very pleased with it.
Oh, shit. The movie was the finale of the adaptation?
I believe so. They made it seem like the end.
Oh, shit. Because I know there's more. Oh, shit. I got to watch it now. That's crazy. I watched like the first 30 minutes at Anime NYC. I didn't have time to see it in theaters, though.
Yeah, I didn't see it in theaters either. The film was on Crunchyroll, broken up into like 3 or 4 episodes length instead. And I just like binged it all one afternoon that day. So.
Nice.
All
right,
I was satisfied with it. But I still need to read through the rest of the manga. Unfortunately, my library that I was reading it through hasn't been able to get some of like the middle teen issues because like of the print issues that happened during COVID and so and like print demand. So there's like a few issues gap that I'm missing, and I need to just skip past them using my anime knowledge and just like read the end of the series.
Oh, that's a shame.
But yeah, but I'm on hold for a volume that is next in line past that gap. So
okay,
eventually
cool.
get to it.
Make sure to talk to me after you catch up, or like if you like read enough, because that was one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I have an arc for the first volume of Oshinoko, so I'll let you know what I think about that as well.
Nice.
Once I finally bring myself to read it and knowing what happens. Mm-hmm. But so getting back to business proposal, are there any final thoughts that you want to share, whether it's about the webcomic or the K-drama, before we kind of close it out today?
Oh, yeah. Personally, like, I felt like this is like exactly what I look for in like a modern like romance comedy type story. Just because like we were saying, like there's a lot of like writing choices that are like, oh, this is like a modern story for like a modern audience. But also like it doesn't shy away from like you know, like all the tropes and shit that like, oh, give me some fucking tropey cornmeal. Like, this is exactly it. Like, all these things work for a reason. And, yeah, I don't know. The execution, I think, is what really sets it at a higher bar, for me. Even though, like, there are times where, like we said, like, there are some choices that maybe don't make as much sense as, some of the other things, but, the chemistry really carries. I feel like all of the cast, especially in the webtoon, because like just because the drama was very fun and enjoyable, but because they could only really focus on the main two couples, Hari and Taemu and Sanghoon and Yeongsa, like it was sad, because like I would have loved to see the storyline in the epilogue or after stories with like Hamin and Yuju, or like even the amusing story with Taemu's grandpa. Like,
yeah,
it's a shame, but like it's just like I think the author did a really good job of like making like a believable world and like characters who act like real people, and like the script reflects that. The script is like one of the things that contributes the most to both like the pacing and like the likability of all the characters.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I especially agree with what you're saying as far as the characters and their chemistry. All of the subtle glances and looks that they give throughout the series really like tug at your heartstrings depending on what's going on, or really solidify that, yeah, that's how they feel. The whole relationship dynamic for each of the different sets of couples throughout the series is very heartwarming, whether it's romantic with the different, like the core four couples or the side couples that get added in, or the like the relationship between the grandfather and Taemu and Sanghoon as like an adoptive family together.
Yeah, honestly, it's so heartwarming because like there's no like real like there's always like when you see these like what is it, like those Chaebol families, like all these conglomerates where it's like people fighting for succession and like to be able to own the company or whatever, and like everything is like decided already at this point. Like I think Taemu already inherited the company. And, like, they grew up as brothers, they were raised as brothers, and they would see each other as brothers. The fact that the grandpa is equally doting on both of them is, like, so heartwarming.
Yeah, he just wants the best for them, and he just wants to go fishing, you know?
He really does. He wants to fish.
I was like, I'll go fishing with you, buddy. Let's go. One other thing that I really like as far as their chemistry and the modern element that we were talking about is, and it happens in different ways, but still happens in both the webcomic and the K-drama, is when Hari has to go and, or not has to, but she chooses to go and address the board about situations that are questionable of Taemu's character. Like when they're saying, oh, he forced a girl into his car at the athletic festival, or he's having a secret relationship with an employee or whatever. Like, and she steps in both times and says, mm-hmm. It's me. And in the webcomic, that becomes like her proposal to Taemu. I think that is very well done in both aspects, and
it's a really good flip off of the polls.
Yeah, their dynamic changes in a way that takes like Taemu by surprise and makes Hari seem like much more like independent and adjusted on her own.
I was waiting for Tamer to turn to and look at the screen. He's like, that really was a business proposal.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That, some shit, that, like, that would have been so funny.
I didn't even think about that, but that's perfect.
I really do think that they're like perfect for each other. Because the whole thing of like, oh, Haman is like she's like a commoner, she's like just like a laywoman. Her family owns a fucking chicken shop, right?
Yeah.
But the fact that like that just makes her down to earth. And that's exactly what Tamu kind of needed to ground himself, because yeah, he's Mr. Perfect, and like he went to university, and he went to like America, and he inherited the company and shit, and just whatever. He just can't stop overachieving. But then this person, when he gets to talk to Hari and like realize what it means to like enjoy life as like a normal person, like quote unquote normal, like. I love when stuff like that happens, when people can like, when couples can like compliment each other with like their traits, like whatever you're lacking they have, and like shit like that. I think that's really fun and cute.
Yeah, it's really beautiful in like the setup, and I think a really good example of that is when Tamu like rolls up his sleeves and works in the chicken shop himself.
Oh yeah. Think,
like he's not afraid to like step in and do what needs to be done to be like to provide for Hari in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Wasn't like her dad like sick or something?
Yeah, they ended up in the hospital because there was like a grease fire. From the like the chicken splattered up, and Tamu ended up like putting them in like the finest hospital or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were out for, I want to say it was like a month or two that they like were stuck in the hospital. But in the K-drama, they did end up in the hospital, and Tamu moved them to a better hospital, but it was something like, I don't remember what specifically, but it was something like significantly less like trivial or whatever. Like it was just like,
yeah, like the serious moments in the hospital was because they made the grandpa go for like, it was like a, was it like a cancer scare or something?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. So that's what it was with the grandfather. But the hospital visit for Hari's parents, it was in the K-drama, it was just her dad, and he had appendicitis.
Yeah, appendicitis.
Yeah. So it's a different take, but it still works, and yeah. It still got Tamu in the chicken shop and Sun Moon as well. So that was a fun dynamic, and like seeing Yongseo wait on tables and everything too.
Oh yeah. Oh, also, like a really interesting reflection of like the way the couples work is the fact that like,
yes,
even though Tamu and Sung-hoon are like brothers or whatever, and like Sung-hoon always sees himself as like inferior because like he's an orphan, he was adopted. He has his moments of like his inferiority complex, but then like he's attracted to Yongseo, and Yongseo is in like the opposite position. She's basically the Tamu, where she's like an heiress. Her father like is loving and doting, and like wants her to like inherit the company and all that shit. But she wants to be independent, and like that's something that she like craves. And the way that she sees how Sung-hoon basically is living that same life that she wants, that's something that also attracts her to him. Besides the fact that like, oh yeah, he's handsome. I thought that was really cool because it's like, yeah, these people are basically looking for, like their other halves to like complete them. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Is there anything else that we didn't already touch on, or that you wanted to touch on more for Business Proposal before we close it up?
I think we hit most of it. Good job. That was great. I think. There were a couple of things about the choice to like make the company into like a, what was it, like a food, I don't even remember.
Like a food research industry or something.
Yeah, food research or whatever. Like, I thought that was really cool. And they really used it to the fullest extent and like the best way, because there were some of the original scenes that they added were like when they had like a research company trip or whatever to like the countryside, and like Hari having to like hide her identity like at work when she realized that Tamu's grandpa was there. Yeah. That shit was so funny. And she's like in the bathroom, she's like covering her face. And Tabu's grandpa's like shitting himself. He's just like, come on, get out of the bathroom. I gotta shit. I was dying. I saw that shit. I was like, there's no way.
I was so amused that she just kept like walking like backwards with her face covered.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she just easily trip.
With her bangs or like coke over her face. And then what's his name? Mr. Kang looks at her and she's like, something about that girl. Her vibes, I'm not feeling she's very off.
Well, like when he meets them on the street, he's like, this girl is always covering her face. She's a monster.
she's like, she's such bad energy. She's bad. She's fucking up my whole week. Oh, God. But then when he realizes who she is, he's like, oh, it was fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. He gets over himself pretty quick. Yeah, I mean, I think all around it was a pretty good series. I would still recommend it to people generally, with like warning them about the like potential consent issue and like just general like different perspectives that people might have on some of the topics. But I did overall enjoy it, and I do plan on like reading it again as the Easy Press volumes come out, and I will buy all 10 of them as they come out. But yeah, I mean, so as we did in the first episode with our lovely scale, on a scale of Bibim Flop, Dajang Mid, and Bulgogi, what would you give a business proposal?
Oh, for me, that's a Bulgogi right there. That did his job completely.
I would give it closer to like maybe an 80% for me. Mm-hmm. So it's not mid, but it's not goat for me. It's in between.
That's fair. I gotta come up with something for that.
We need some more tears in between.
Yeah, we do. More tears.
Not everything can be bad, mid, or great, so...
Right. Oh, man.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed our discussion on A Business Proposal and our addendum to our previous discussion on soul leveling, please email us at sojunwannareadmanhwa@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at SojunWannaPod. We want to hear from you, all your questions, your comments, feedback, things that you think we should be reading in our coming episodes. Our podcast is going to be a monthly podcast as far as we currently know. And we're looking forward to all the great things that we're going to get into. Next time in episode 3, we're going to talk about The Boxer, another Easy Press title. Just so you know, we are sticking with Easy Press titles for just a little bit. It's a very new imprint for Yen Press, and we're excited about it, and it brings a lot of great titles to the American audience. And yeah, so thank you everyone for listening. You can follow us individually as well. My handle on all social platforms is @AerosionBombshell. Marion, how can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at @microwavy, the E is before the V on Twitter. And yeah, I have a card in my description with all my other projects, if you're interested. I co-host a bunch of other things, and this is just like a passion project that came up that I really wanted to do. And again, like, I'm really happy and glad Amber can come on. So if you're enjoying this content, get ready for more, because we have a queue of things to go through. And like, yeah, I fucking love talking about webtoons. So.
Yeah, I'm very thankful that you had me join you here, and I'm very excited to get into our great queue of comics and webtoons that we have already planned in store. So, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time. So, do you want to read manhwa? We do.
We do.
Bye, everyone.
Later. Yeah.